Hello there, welcome along. It's the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. I'm Bruce Millington, and joining me to look ahead to two fantastic days at Cheltenham, as well as some intriguing stuff from Lingfield and Fontwell, are David Jennings, who's at Cheltenham, and Keith Melrose, who's probably in Huddersfield or somewhere. Small fields, the order of the weekend, I'm afraid. It's very disappointing. There's three great days at Cheltenham, but there are a lot of very, very meagre field sizes. And that is certainly the case for our first race, the 140 at Cheltenham on Saturday. It's the From the Horse's Mouth podcast, Novices Chase, known as the November. It's a hurdle over, it's a chase over 2 miles. Third time lucky is favourite, roughly 5-2. On Mick Pastor, 5-1. Captain Tomcat, 15-2. Sebastopol, 12-1. Just the four runners. It looks to be at the mercy of third time lucky. Is that how you see it? Keith Melrose.
It probably is, isn't it? He is the horse in this that you can see turning up come Arkle time and being a real contender for races like that. So he does deserve to be a really short price favourite. It's got quite an interesting makeup to it as a race, though, and I might have a very small bet on Captain Tomcat, who's got to give weight away and probably isn't as good as Mick Pastor or Third Time Lucky. But how good Mick Pastor is and how much of that he shows is entirely up to Mick Pastor on a given day. Captain Tomcat showed that when beating him last week at Wincanton in a grade two. Captain Tomcat really took to chasing in these little small fields, and this is exactly the sort of arena in which he's going to, if he's ever going to run above himself, it's in this sort of company. So I might have a tiny little bet on him. I know he's not the best horse in a race, and I know he's got to give weight away, but if he's ever going to excel himself, it's in this sort of scenario.
DJ, are you just going to watch and learn, or are you going to bet?
I don't think we'll learn anything, Bruce. No, won't bet. I will watch. I'm looking forward to it. It's obviously very disappointing that there's only three rivals taken on, Third Time Lucky, but I think we'll make up a bit of time here. I think he'll win very, very convincingly. He looks a natural. And people are rubbishing his claims for the Arkle, saying, oh, when the Irish take him on, the Irish are going to hammer him. I think he's very good, Bruce.
Oh, interesting. And DJ, just very quickly, you're over in Cheltenham. You're doing an exciting new series, aren't you? DJ on Tour. Tell us all about that.
Yeah, I actually spent the last 4 hours. I've just arrived home from Seven Barrows. I was with Nicky Henderson. And I got absolutely soaked. It hasn't rained apparently over here for months, and I got absolutely soaked. But it was brilliant. It was very eye opening just to see the goings on at Seven Barrows and all the stars. And one horse or one mare who worked particularly well along with Buzz was Epitant, who certainly caught my eye.
And when are we going to see the fruits of all these stable visits?
Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday.
Brilliant. Look out for that in the Racing Post and racingpost.com, of course. Right then, let's turn our attention to the big race on Saturday, the 2:15 at Cheltenham, the Paddy Power Gold Cup. Handicap chase over 2.5 miles. Rough price guide. The Skeltons have got the fav in and Protectorat. Layla is actually challenging for favouritism. Don't forget that's moved from Kaylee Willicott to Paul Nichols. They're both around 11-2. Al Dancer, who's also changed stables, he's 13-2. Midnight Shadow, 17-2. Zandra, 11s. Caribbean Boy, 12. Along with Galahad, Questen, 14. But this is interesting, DJ, not least because there are lots of P's in the very recent form figures of the second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth favourites.
There are. And, like, Layla has been pulled up the last twice. Obviously, you can see the angle with Layla. Like, off 149 could be chucked in. And anybody wants to make a case for Layla, fire away. I completely agree with you. Must have a massive chance if Nichols can find the key to Layla. The one that I've liked for the race for some time, and it has he has a P next to his name as well, as Caribbean Boy, because I just think that there's one good day in Caribbean Boy. I think we saw that last season, first time out, when he beat Fiddler on the Roof, first time out in Newbury, in a good time. They really were moving up the straight there that day at Newbury. And I just think There is one day in him. I think he goes well fresh. I think off 1.48, I still do think he's well handicapped. Like, he got up to 1.54 after beating Fiddler on the Roof last year. Some this morning, looks well. The vibes are very strong. And just for the last 2 months, thinking about this race, I just thought he was the kind of one that could, first time out, have a couple of pounds in hand. He's now out to 16-1 with a couple of firms. I think that's a big price. I think Caribbean Boy is a big player.
Did you slip it into the conversation with Hendo about whether he's got a chance?
Yeah, it's funny because as he was in the second lot this morning, and he did two actually decent pieces of work. And as the horse was coming in, he led the string. And as the horse was coming into the little warm-up area, I don't know who the work rider was on board, but he was like, as they were coming towards Nicky, they were saying the names of the horses as they were like getting towards him. And the work rider was like, "That's tomorrow's Paddy Power winner." And I was like, "Oh, happy days." He didn't even say Caribbean Boy.
Blimey, excellent. A tip almost straight from the horse's mouth. Keith, who do you like here?
The way I'm going to play this race is really not friendly to the podcast. You're going to get all these extra places, which and it's going to be the same all winter. We've had it all season with the flat horses, and it's going to happen in the winter as well. It's even more generous with jumpers because Skybet are offering 7 places in this race, and the last 3 years there's been 7, 8, and 6 finishers in this race. So get yourself a horse that finishes, and you've got your each way money. So I'm going to be back in about 3 or 4. Each way on those terms, to be quite honest with you. I'm going to do Simply the Bets. I think I can see him finishing in the first 3 or 4. I'm going to do Midnight Shadow, I would imagine. Might do Galahad Quest. I'll probably do Caribbean Boy as well, because I do get what DJ's saying. That horse does have a big run in him. It's just when it'll come out. The only one I would sort of spend a bit of time on, I'm not sure he'll actually run tomorrow. I think Venetia might pull him out. I think the ground might be too lively for him, but Farinet's going to win a big race this year, I think. He's only run twice in Britain for Venetia. He's third to Galahad Quest in a race where the pace collapsed a little bit at Haydock in February. In fact, it was a race Caribbean Boy had won the year before. And then he won the race that had been moved from the festival, the old novice handicap. He won that really, really easily at Sandown, and just looks like a horse that's going to keep improving this winter. Venetia Williams is on record as saying he wants the ground a bit softer. I think we're going to get non-runners in this meeting this weekend because the ground's faster than people expect. So he might not even run, but do just keep him in mind for a big handicap somewhere. But play this race each way.
And that's Farinet. On that basis, Keith, I'm going to back Spirit of the Games sniping for the extra places, because, I mean, he's not particularly fashionable, obviously, but he's got a good record round here, hasn't he? Are you going to put me off that one?
No, not at all. If you could back place only for 6 or 7, he's the one horse you would back, isn't he? I mean, I just don't think he wins.
Bet place, unless they're an absolute screaming dodge pot. I never bet place only because they go and win and you puke, don't you?
Oh, that's right. He's only a mild dodge pot spirit of the game, so yeah.
You never know. 250 Cheltenham, Paddy Power Games handicap hurdle over 3 miles. Prashima for the Skeltons, 11-4, Fab, Dragon Bones 4-1, Bally Millsy 5-1, Sporting John 15-2, 17-2, Bar. We've got 11 runners, so you should get some extra places. And who should people be focusing on, Keith?
We're now obviously a home fixture for me, but I'm really surprised Dragon Bones isn't even shorter. Basically only been beaten once when she stood up over hurdles, and that was at the showcase meeting here. It was a reappearance. The mark of 1.32 is actually on the generous side. You don't see many horses that have run in the races she has, you know, winning novice hurdles as they like and coming to handicaps on good marks. It's not really the done thing. But Dragon Bones is on a good mark. Charlie Todd takes another £3 off. It's a pretty competitive race, but I'm surprised she isn't right up with Prashima, to be quite honest. But so Dragon Bones for me.
Righty-ho, David Jennings, have you got a strong selection here?
I kind of do. I'm going the other way. I'm going with Bally Millsy. The two of these clashed at Worcester last April, and Bally Millsy came down at the second last, and Dragon Bones was definitely travelling better, but Bally Millsy does find an awful lot off the bridle, and it would have been reasonably interesting, I thought, watching the race, because he actually took off about a half a length in front of Dragon Bones that day. He was sent off 13-8 favourite, and he's reappeared with a very, very convincing win around Newton Abbott, and I don't think Newton Abbott is the type of track that would suit Bally Millsy. He's off 1.35, he has to give Dragon Bones £3, I was quite impressed with him at Newton Abbott. He's only a 5-year-old. I think he's getting better. I think he's one of these each-way steals, as in it's impossible to see him finishing out of the first 3. I mean impossible. If he runs his race, I just think he's guaranteed to be bang there. 5-1 best price. I think he's one of the better bets on the afternoon.
You'd probably nick 4 places. Well, I know you'll nick 4 places at least. So, okay, Keith goes Dragon Bones. And DJ goes Bally Millsy, the last TV race at Cheltenham's, the 3.25. Paddy Power, feel like a favourite. Intermediate handicap hurdle. I've talked about small fields. Actually, the Saturday races, apart from the first one, are perfectly good. We've got 12 runners going to post for this. And Mackleduff is Fav, along with Unexpected Party. They're both around 130. Benson, 15-2. Good Time Johnny, 9. Gowell Road is 10s. It's 12 to 1 bar, and it's David Jennings to go first.
This is a good race, Bruce. This is actually a fascinating race. I think there's a load of well-handicapped horses here. I think Unexpected Party is well-handicapped. I think McElduff is well-handicapped. I was in Ollie Murphy's on Thursday, and he was pretty keen on his chances. He thought he'd run really well. Obviously, Benson's a winning machine, but I do think Good Time Johnny, people will look at his rating and say he won off 111 in Goran Park last day. Now he's running off 126, so he's £15 higher. But this is a horse they've always thought was fairly useful in Tony Martin's yard. Like, he was good enough to run in the champion bumper against Fernie Hollow after winning a Musselburgh bumper. I think it's taken him a while to get the hang of jumping, but his jumping was much slicker and much better last time at Goran. It's a race that Tony does like to target, these type of races at this meeting. He's had winners at them before. I remember Ruby riding a winner for him a good while ago. 126 may look high. But like this time last year, if you're talking to Tony Martin about Good Time Johnny and you said he was only rating 126, I'd say he would have been disappointed. I think there's more to come. And I think that win, that clear round, his jumping is getting better. I think he's a big player at 10-1.
Keith, who are you going to go for?
I'm reluctant to be really strong on one in this race because in my memory, this race is one of the strongest handicaps of the early part of the season. It's the Punchestown's race. He won it in 2008. It's the Grand Cru race. He came clear with four non-stop a couple of years later. It used to be absolutely set your recorder and watch this race. I don't think it's as strong as that now. And yes, DJ's right. There are lots of well-handicapped horses in the race, but it's not absolutely finger-singingly hot like it used to be. And I just think Unexpected Party has the whiff of just wins about him. I would not be surprised if this is a 140 horse. Not at all. The way he won at Weatherby, the time backs it up really strongly. There was a fast, I knew the sectional, the finishing sectional was fast, 109%. Graham Ward, we added to that this morning, he says that the last circuit was really fast, actually. And if they can keep that sort of pace up for a long time and do it on the bridle like Unexpected Party did, then there must be quite a good horse. He's actually bred to be a reasonably decent flat horse on his dam side and by Marteline, who's obviously a pretty good jump sire on as his sire. And yeah, he's only run three times over hurdles entirely. First time, you know, he was second to a horse that was actually useful in the flat in Hassanabad. Then he probably wasn't fit a year later when he ran at Bangor in September. He's such an unexposed horse. I think he could end up miles better than 120.
Okay, blimey. Was it really 13 years ago that Punchestown's breakthrough win in this race? Where does the time go? Okay, the time will go very quickly, 10 seconds roughly, and then we're back with Lingfield.
Are you football crazy? Then Racing Post's new podcast could be just for you. Mark Langdon's Bet Clubs brings all of the best football betting insight from Racing Post's top football tipster. As well as that, Mark will be joined each week by a friend from the betting community to guide listeners through their best bets. Simply search Mark Langdon's Bet Clubs on your podcast app of choice and listen today.
Welcome back to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. Bruce Millington, David Jennings and Keith Melrose. Two nice races on the flat at Lingfield on ITV on Saturday, starting with the 3:05, the Betway Golden Rose Stakes. It's the listed race over 6 furlongs and it's very competitive. Good Effort is fav at roughly 100 to 30. Harry's Bar 11 to 2. Exalted Angel and Misty Grey are both 7s. Bahrain Pride is 8s and it's 11s bar. Who wants to go first? We better go with Keith, I think. Keith, you've very much got your jumps head screwed on, but you're going to have to focus back on the flat for this. Who'd you like?
Yeah, it's like the killer in a horror film, the flat, this, isn't it? Went back for one last scare after we thought we'd got rid of it. But I'm going to have a bet on this, I think. I'm going to have a bet on 5,000 to 1, who has the ability to lay up with all these. On his best form, he'd be just about top on RPRs. And last time he ran at Kempton, he was still last 2 furlongs out. If it wasn't 2 furlongs out, it was 2.1 furlongs out. You know, he just started to move very late in the day, basically, and only finished a length and a half third in that race. The way he gets ridden now and the way he sort of strides and everything, Lingfield's going to be much more his cup of tea. And I thought 12 to 1 was much too big a price.
Thank you very much, Keith. David Jennings?
Yeah, I can see Keith's case for 5,000 to 1. I can make a case for a couple of these, and Judicial, I think, could run well as well. I don't think Judicial, he's 9 now, but I still think a race like this actually does suit his makeup. But I thought, given that he was drawn in stall 1 this time, I thought Harry's Bar would run well. He's like, he's been busy enough of late, and he was sent off favour for the Group 3 at Dundalk last time for Aidan McGuinness and Wayne Lorden. But he was just a bit fizzy, I thought, in the early part of the race. He had actually beaten the Highway Rat the time before at Dundalk, so he was entitled to beat the Highway Rat, and he was beaten four lengths this time, whereas he won by a length and three quarters the time before. I just think the draw has been really kind here, because I think Tom Marcand will be able to just tuck in, maybe sit fifth or sixth on the rail, and he just won't have to cover as much ground. Like, this horse was so unlucky at the Good Friday meeting last year, and I think he could gain compensation here. So Harry's Bar for me.
Okay, even the most hardened jumps fan is surely going to want to take a peek over the flat fence at 3:40 at Lingfield to see the Betway Churchill Stakes over a mile and two, because lovely Pile Driver is making an appearance. He's roughly 6-4 favourite here. Felix is 100-30. It's Horovian 7 and it's 12-1. Bar, that's a nice bonus, DJ, isn't it? Pile Driver turning up on the flat on a wintry Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, it's a bit mad. I think, like, sure, it's just a case of what Pile Driver is going to show up. If the 120 rated Pile Driver, who is an absolute beast, shows up, then he just wins. So it depends on what kind of a punter you are. Like, if you're the type that are willing to accept your beating, if he doesn't win and accept he's not quite right and he hasn't ran since June, then fair enough, back Pile Driver. I'd prefer to just sit and watch and hope that he comes back to the form he showed when he beat Al-Azi in the Coronation Cup. Like, that day was the real Al-Azi. Like, people will kind of look back and say, he only beat Al-Azi, but that was Al-Azi when Al-Azi was the proper Al-Azi, and he fought back and he beat him. So I think that's, like, it's Group 1 winning form, and he's running on a Saturday at Lingfield. And there, you could make an argument for saying he's a decent price, but I'll sit and watch and hope Pile Driver wins.
Righty-ho. Keith, what do you make of this one?
It's weird because I put Pile Driver up on the post price-wise for the arc, and yet I think what I'm going to do here is possibly place Liam. It's very strange.
But explain more.
Yeah, the reason he didn't run in the arc, he was meant to run at York, and he didn't run at York. He was meant to get ready for the arc. He didn't get ready for the arc, and he's had so many problems since he won that Coronation Cup. A mile, Lingfield in a mile two, that's not this horse's conditions. He generally is a horse that needs to get rolling over a mile and a half. You know, he's been placed in a St. Ledger. If there was a time this horse is just going to bomb out, it's this. And you'll be twos on to place if you go into Betfair and lay that. And yeah, I think there's quite a deep field behind him. I mean, none of them, if this was a mile and a half Group One, he'd be threes on and he'd win and whatever. But there's a lot of horses here that are 115, 120 level in these conditions. So Pile Driver couldn't just get away with being 70% fit. And yeah, I think if you're going to twos on to, and you can lay that to get him out the first three, that's what I might do.
Okay, let's see what else the lads fancy on Saturday. DJ, I'll start with you. And it is possibly true to say that the horse who could end this season as the absolute star jumper in Britain or Ireland is in action at Punchestown at midday, isn't he? Bob Ollinger.
Yeah, I stupidly said that I think he could be the best we've seen since Sprinter Sacra.
I don't think that's stupid. I don't get that at all.
It's just so impressive.
Why not?
I know, yeah, but sure, I've been ridiculed by Keels and the likes for, like, hyperbole, which obviously I'm prone to. But it's just, like, it was actually listening to a Paul Nicholls interview where it screamed to me that he must be something really special, because Paul, like, knows Brave Man's Game is a really good horse, and Brave Man's Game did everything right that day, and she just laughed. Rachel looked across and just laughed at Harry Topton. And Bob Ollinger, like, the fact that he's keen to get him out, like, this is the ideal race for him. It's actually a good race. It's a strong race, but he's, like, 2-7 to win it, which tells you all you need to know. I just think he could be something really, really special, and I just love to see him. Like, I think he could be an absolute superstar. So you want to see a really slick, clean round of jumping and just get us really excited for the rest of the season. But it's not a bad race, Bruce.
Are you definitely going with Ollinger? I said Ollinger and you said Ollinger. It's a bit like Giggingstown and Jigginstown, isn't it, this one?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure this one, though. It's Bob Ollinger.
Okay, isn't it? It's a play on the champagne, isn't it?
No, it's not. Bob Ollinger was he was an American, because I studied this stuff for Cheltenham. He was a Wild West law enforcer. I think he shot Billy the Kid, or Billy the Kid shot Bob Ollinger.
Oh.
Yeah. So there you go. Anyway, notwithstanding that, what should we be betting on Saturday away from the ITV cameras?
12:38, Bruce, the Grade 2 Novice Chase. Cape Gentleman will be favoured here in around evens. But I think Riviere d'Etel will be Cape Gentleman for Gordon Elliott and Dennis O'Regan. She's only a four-year-old, so she gets all the allowances. And I absolutely love the way she attacked the last fence at Fairy House. She just seemed to really enjoy jumping fences. She was 133 rated hurdler. And at one stage last season, she was high up in the betting for the Triumph Hurdle. But she only ended up finishing seventh in the Fred Winter. But I think this time of year, 10 stone five she's carrying. So Cape Gentleman has to give Riviere d'Etel a stone and £4. And I don't think he's going to be able to do it. I think if you're getting in around 11 to 4 or even, you know, 5 to 2, I think that price about Riviere d'Etel is value. Later on in the card, you've got the 148. It's a rated novice hurdle. Purple Mountain is likely to be favoured here for Willie Mullins and Sean O'Keefe. But I like the names Jock for John Kiley and Dennis O'Regan. A good flat performer. Very impressive first time out of a hurdles at Listowel. Has been given a mark of 1-2-3. And I just looked through this field and I think, do you know what? I think he might just be a little bit classier than him. So they're my two at Punchestown, Bruce. And my nap is in the non-televised action at Cheltenham. So I'll keep that for the nap.
Jolly good, Keith.
I've just been looking at Western people. Bob Olinger was shot by Billy the Kid. Pat Garrett shot Billy the Kid. I knew the name of who shot Billy the Kid. Anyway, I'm like DJ. My nap actually runs away from the telly. So I've got another one that I'm going to put up. It's in the 207 at Utoxeter. Shanty Alley is a horse I quite like, but good ground, first run of the season. I've called him a likeable galoot. He's the sort of horse that's going to need deep ground and a couple of runs behind him. Galoot.
Galoot?
Yeah, galoot.
What's that?
It's just like a big clumsy thing.
Okay.
I used to get called a Scottish term. I thought it was the sort of thing John Wayne would say. Galoot. Maybe it might be Scottish. But, you know, it's one of these words. They don't talk about the etymology when you hear it as a child. But, yeah, that's what... Anyway, he's a big clumsy thing. He's going to win loads of three-mile chases and deep ground come the winter time. But this is November, first run of the season. It's on good ground. I think it's maybe a time to take him on, likeable though he is. And I think I might do it with Hard to Forget, who won over 3 miles here in April. He took off on his first run in a visor. He came back recently not in a visor and... for my money, was very much ridden with an eye on another day. And think that in a race where there's a lot I don't particularly fancy, we know about Just Your Type, what a slow horse he is. Indy 5 is getting increasingly quirky. There's a lot to like about Hard to Forget in the 207 at Utoxeter.
Thank you very much. Let's get the naps.
This will not be beaten.
And we'll start with Keith Melrose.
Yeah, it's the 12:50, nice and early, at Weatherby. It's not a big field. It's a race that's got Cornerstone Lad in it. But Cornerstone Lad didn't necessarily really... He was second to good horses, but I'm not sure he's going to make the very best chaser. He's got a relatively high mark. Magic Dancer seen as a solid option despite being miles out the weights. And I think Fransham's the one to be backing in this race. Had some really good form and some good handicap hurdles in his later part of last season. Finished second in a class two at Newcastle and was going to finish in the first five or so in the conditionals race on Grand National Day when he fell at the last. Whipped round on his chase debut. It was just a bit of a farce. There was nothing particularly wrong with it. He jumped fine. I think he's going to take this. He's bred to make a better chaser in time. And as we're recording this, I'm not sure it'll last. You can get 11 to 4 about him. And there's only four runners. And I don't like any of the rest. And Fransham just stood out to me as a sort of horse I'll definitely like to get tucked into.
Jolly good. What about you, DJ?
The naps are early this week, Bruce. Mine is in the 12:30 at Cheltenham. And it's Night Salute for Milton Harris and Paddy Brennan. I was very impressed at Kempton because I don't think Impulsive One did much wrong that day. And Night Salute just beat him fair and square. I thought it was a really, really good performance. He was getting a little bit of weight. But see, the kind of sexy horses favoured here, like Magistrato was always going to be favoured. You know, Paul Nichols, one from one, came from France, was always going to be favoured. But I just thought with Night Salute, I thought first time out at Sedgefield, I really liked what I saw. And I didn't think that was a bad race for Sedgefield either. He seems to love this game, so he does. And, you know, he wasn't too bad in the flat either. Like, he was rated in the 80s. At one stage, I think he got up to maybe 89. And he's quite lightly raced. I like his profile. He had 7 races on the flat for Andrew Balding. And then he's won 2 from 2 over hurdles. And I think if he wasn't trained by Milton Harris, I think he'd be very close to favourite here. And I think he'll win. Night Salute, 12:30 Cheltenham, take the 9-2.
Excellent job, guys. Sunday in just a moment.
The Racing Post Christmas Countdown offers you the chance to win the ultimate Cheltenham Festival experience for you and three friends. Travel in style to Gold Cup Day with helicopter transfers from your five-star hotel and experience fine dining in the Shea Rue restaurant with some of the finest views over the course. To enter, simply place a bet on the Racing Post app today. And on top of that, there are huge weekly prizes available as well. Find out more at racingpost.com/Christmas Countdown.
Welcome back to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. Bruce Millington, David Jennings and Keith Melrose looking ahead to six sizzling races on Sunday, four at Cheltenham on ITV. We've got the Morgiana in Ireland and there's a big race down at Fontwell. We'll start at Cheltenham with the 145, the Juice and Click and Collect Handicap Chase. 3 miles, 3 furlongs and only 6 runners. There are some very small fields on Sunday. 9-4 Empire de Maud, 11-4 Yala Renki, 7-2 Go Another One, 5 Rocky's Treasure, 8 The Mighty Don, 14's Forza Milan. Keith Melrose, take it away with the winner.
Yeah, it's. I used to like when this race was the second race on a Saturday. It's moved this year. It's a bit of a nonsense race on a Sunday and got the field it deserved for that moving down the bill. I'm a bit disappointed. I think that Kim Bailey and Connections Rocky's Treasure will think all the Christmases have come at once. This horse has a good record on better ground. He was ridden, faking him run last time, was his first of the season, and was plainly like he wasn't quite there. He'll be fitter next time. They've got better ground than we'd have expected at Cheltenham. Well, unless there's lots of rain in the meantime. And they've got a much smaller field than they would have been expecting. Now, I don't like this horse particularly. I think he's a real funny one to catch right. But today might be the day. It's very weak for a grade three. And 13-2 is the best price I can see for Rocky's Treasure just now. I think that might be a little bit big.
David?
I just think there's a lot of these are regressing. Like Galenki, I don't think is 11. He's not as good as he was. Go Another One, I'm not convinced, warrants a mark of 145. Rocky's Treasure is 10 now. Then you've got the Mighty Don, who obviously throws in the odd stinking jumping performance, and Forza Milan, who's 9 as well. So it comes back to the favourite, Empire de Mald, who is only 7, despite having plenty of rates on. He's getting better. He's gradually making the step up. Like when he ran at Aintree during the summer, he was rating 122 when he won. Now he's up to 137. And I thought he was actually probably value for a little bit more than the winning margin when he beat Big River last time at Kelso. He's gone up only £5 for that, and I think he's got away quite lightly. Brian Hughes keeps the ride. And I think, as favourites go in a race like this, I think he's one of the more solid ones.
OK, let's move on to a cracker at 220. Only 4 runners, but what a race this is going to be. It's the Schlur Chase over 2 miles, and we've got the last two champion chasers in the field. Nube Negra and Put the Kettle on Vie for favouritism, round about 13-8. 4-1 Politolog, 13-2 Rouge Vif. They're all good ones, aren't they? As Doris from Account says when she tries to get you involved in the Grand National Sweepstake. You wouldn't do a sweepstake with just 4 runners, but what a race we've got, DJ. Who wins?
My strongest fancy of the entire weekend, Bruce. I think Nube Negra is a good thing here. I really do. A lot of people kind of saying that Put the Kettle On is an absolute star. Like she's just amazing, and I absolutely love her to bits. And like I've spoke to Henry about this, I spoke to Aidan Coleman. She doesn't get the credit she deserves. If she, like a mare to win the champion chase, if she wasn't around the same time as Honeysuckle, we'd be bloody having parades with her. She's unbelievable. But I just think now is the time to catch Nube Negra. Like Put the Kettle On won this race last year, but she fell in. Deffy Desai was pulled up. Duke de Geneva threw it away. I thought she fell in the race last season. I think she needs a really high tempo over 2 miles, like the champion chase. And people would point to Politolog and Rouge Vif being in here. They're not going to go a million first run back. They're not going to go flat out from the word go like they do in the champion chase. And I just think Put the Kettle On will be much more will be much more suited to march the champion chase than she will be here. Nube Negra, 7-year-old, we know he's awesome fresh. Like we saw that last year at Kempton when he was absolutely brilliant in beating Altior. He just didn't get there in the champion chase. And to me, he's going to be the one that's going to be cherry ripe for this day. I think he's going to be perfectly tuned. The Skeletons have a big weekend ahead. He's the 7-year-old, the up-and-coming horse, I think, that could just be a big player on the British team in the 2 mile chasing department this season. There was some 2-1 earlier on in the week, and I told a few of my mates I thought that was a cracking price. I think he'll go off closer to evens on the day. And this is his time. This is his bread and butter. If he doesn't win, I'll be disappointed. So a very strong vote for Nube Negra for me.
Can't possibly go off evens. They keep trying to get put the kettle on beaten at Cheltenham. She's 4 from 4. She's absolutely brilliant. She just wins, Keith, doesn't she?
No, I'm mostly with DJ, to be honest. I wouldn't be quite as strong as him, but I do think Dubinegra is the horse that will probably win this race. He's right. The only thing I'd add to what DJ said is they won't go lickety-split over the first 3 or 4 fences like in a champion chase. But with Politolog in there, who knows they need to test stamina, and Rouge Vif is a prominent racer as well. Once they start racing, they ain't going to stop, and that will suit Dubinegra. So, yeah, no, I think he's the likeliest winner too.
Okay, the one sizeable field on Sunday for the TV races comes in the 2:55, the Unibet Greatwood Handicap Hurdle over 2 miles. No Ordinary Joe for Hendo, 4-1 Fav, 11-2 West Cork, 7 Adagio, 8 Advanced Virgo, 10 Tritonic, 12 Bar. Keith, try and solve this one if you will.
Nah, I ducked out of it a little bit. I might have a bet because you'll get these massive place concessions again. And even if Ballyandy is £5 worse than he was last year, he'll be named at this race again. He would still finish in the first 3 or 4 because he's so well handicapped. He's 33-1. I'm just going to duck all this thing of picking through all these extremely well handicapped horses. I've got a well handicapped horse here, and I think if he turns up, he'll finish in the first 4 or 5. So he's just a natural each way bet at a big price.
I love that, DJ.
I put up in the paper earlier on this week Jesse Evans at 16-1, and I still think he's still a bit of value. You can still get 16. So Owen Walsh takes off £5. Now, the reason I think Jesse Evans is a big player here, because if you go through this field, and especially towards the top of the market, you've got No Ordinary Joe, who has had 3 starts over hurdles, and he's won at 1-5 and 2-5 at Sutherland Worcester. Just the experience of running in a big handicap. Like, West Cork is a second season novice. Adagio ran in the Triumph last year. Obviously, he was a good horse. But again, he's a young horse running a big field handicap. I just think with Jesse Evans, he was fourth, beating 2.5 lengths in a cracking renewal of the Galway Hurdle, like a really top-notch renewal of the Galway Hurdle. And he was banged there turning in. Milkwood, who won the Scottish Champion Hurdle, was second. Cape Gentleman was third. He's won his 2 starts over fences since, and is Evans' favourite to win a Grade 2 on Sunday. It was a really good race, and Jesse Evans was banged there. And the thing about it is, he's been kept fit. He ran 2 maidens on the flat. He was 1-3 to win a flat maiden at Navan under Colin Keane, and I thought he won snug. He won by 2 lengths. He was never in doubt at any stage. He is basically a 92 rated flat performer who jumps really slickly and really well, who's really used to these big field handicaps now, having ran in the Galway Hurdle and the big Punchestown Handicap Hurdle and a handicap hurdle at Killarney as well, which he won. So I think that big race experience, the big fields, jumping at pace when you can't really see the hurdles, I think that's going to suit him. And I think 16-1 each way about Jesse Evans is a massive price.
Right then, and finally from Cheltenham on Sunday, as far as the TV action goes, it's the 3:30, it's the Sky Bet Supreme Trial, a novice hurdle over 2.5 miles. I Like to Move It is Evens, Washington 5-2, Sonigino is 5-1, and Pycar 5-1. DJ, although they are small fields, I suppose they're quite competitive, aren't they? Who do you like here?
Yeah, they're very interesting. I think I Like to Move It will win. You know, that form beating Tritonic, even getting weight, was quite substantial, I thought, that performance. Like, he's rated 138. Washington is only getting £3 from him. So I think, while I won't be backing him at even money, I think if he reproduces that performance against Tritonic, I think I Like to Move It'll win.
Okay, and Keith?
Yeah, I had a good look at this. Tried to get the 5 beat, couldn't.
Thank you very much. The horse that is currently second favourite for the Champion Hurdle reappears at Punchestown on Sunday in the 2:05 in the Unibet Morgiana Hurdle, Grade 1 over 2 miles. It's Echoes in Rain, round about 11-8. What a cracker. This is going to be very informative. Zanahir 11-4, Sharjah 7-2, Abracadabras, 5-1. I always pull other people up for saying that wrong. And Durasso is 20s. Keith, this will be interesting.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously Echoes and Rain has a lot of big reputation behind him. I'll be watching this race. You want to sort of, when you've got Sarge and Abracadabras as the two behind, you know, they're both horses that might loom up and might not go through with it. So I wouldn't fancy backing either of them against him. But I'll be watching it because I still think Echoes and Rain has a little bit to prove in terms of where he is in the Champion Hurdle picture.
Okay. DJ, what do you make of this one? Is Echoes and Rain the real deal, do you think? Or are we still to find that out?
Oh, she could be, but like, God, all week she's been even money and I've been going, what is going on here? This is ridiculous stuff. Like, she's rated 143.
I'm glad you said that.
She's rated £19 below Sharjah, who is a rock-solid 164-rated performer, who has been second in two champion hurdles, who has won this race before. And, like, at one stage this week, Sharjah was 5-1 and Echoes and Rain was evens. I just couldn't get my head around it all week. Now, she could be really special. You know, she started to settle now. She was too keen in her races last season, but she finished the season in style, winning the Grade 1 against the boys at Punchestown. But, you know, Blue Lord didn't run his race at all that day. I just think Sharjah, we look at Sharjah now in a different light, Bruce. We kind of look at Sharjah, we say, ah, he's an early horse, you know. He still won plenty of Grade Ones. He still won a Galway Hurdle. He still finished second to Honeysuckle and got closer than anybody at Cheltenham and Punchestown. And he was still the one closing down Honeysuckle. As Honeysuckle came into the last of Punchestown, I think he goes fine fresh. I think he is the one to beat. And I cannot believe even still he's still 7-2. I think Sharjah is just really solid.
Brilliant. Nice one, DJ. Finally, folks, it's the 3-10 at Fontwell. It's their big race. It's the Oberon Investments Southern National, a handicap chase over 3.5 miles, which is about 8 laps of the figure of eight venue. Salty Boy, 7-2, Fav. Almazar Guard, 5. Lebroy, 5. Game Line, 5. 6 Bar. Very quickly, chaps, do you have a fancy, DJ?
Not particularly, Bruce. Okay, not particularly, but just one thing I will say. I thought Salty Line was too short in the market. I thought Game Line was the underestimate one for Peter and James Bowen. I thought he ran okay last time at Cartmel, and the time before faking him, he won off 110. He's £10 higher now, but it wouldn't be a betting race, but the most likely winner, I actually think, is Game Line.
And Keith?
Yeah, a bit like DJ, and that Salty Boy. He's been lined up for this race, but whizzing round Fontwell is not for him. He wants soft fences and he wants big galloping tracks. I don't think this is the day he comes good myself, even though I've backed him lots of times. Game Line is, he's the one I'd Dutch if I was putting in a saver, but my fancy is Premier Detroit, or I don't even know how to pronounce it, but it's Premier Detroit for Katie Price. One round Fontwell, whizzing round these tracks in the summer and late spring. Last time at Aintree got set far too much to do in what I think is quite a strong novice handicap chase at that old road meeting at Aintree. And in a race where I can't really have the favourite, I'm really keen to have a bet on something, and it'll probably be on him.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, DJ and Keith. Enjoy the action. Thank you so much for tuning in. Maddie's back on Monday, picking through all of what we've seen in 3 absorbing days. We're back next Friday, looking ahead to the Betfair Chase. Hope you can join us for that. Hope you enjoy the racing. Bet safely and, fingers crossed, successfully.